he did some good things, man. It was good to see 43 out there. You know, he was really pumped up, and I saw him today, and I said, hey, feel good to be out there, and he just kind of gave a big grin and shook his head. So, you know, specifically, not only what he did in the run game, I know there's some things he'd want to get back. That interception, that's what good players do in critical moments of the game. Hats off to him. He battled back, you know, to play, and it was really cool to see, you know, him back on the field running the show.
Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich as the Bills prepare to take on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. And we got a surprise here. One, to promote that he's out there with the people today. But two, well, you know what? Sometimes surprise guests are always a fun thing. Nate Geary joining us now here on the Wesser Hotline. First of all, Nate, where are you? Where's Waldo?
Okay, so it's 8580 Transit Road, Consumers Beverage. I don't know East Amherst that much. I'm a city boy and a South Towner, but it's a great location. We're here testing Heineken today, samplings. We got a whole GR table with t-shirts, a spin wheel, prize wheel, and some great prizes if you want to come out, hang out, say hi, shop around. I've actually been walking through and giving some testimonials on most of the alcohol here.
Oh, good job, Nate. Are they?
Because you know me.
Are they paying you today?
I don't know. Maybe. If they are, it could be an alcohol. I would accept that.
All right, there you go, Nate. Of course, obviously, if I've got you for a moment here,
you do.
The Bills having themselves a bit of a slide. Of course, the vibes are a little bit down as from where they were before the end of September. What do they need to do here against New York to have themselves the best chance to stop this skid?
You know, Derek, I like to keep it simple. They got to play better. execution to me, but rewatch the last 2 weeks, specifically last week, right? Mm-hmm. It felt like a lot of, especially the first half, offense was just not executing at a high enough level. And what I mean, I guess, is like as basic as blocking, picking up free rushers, throwing on target, getting open, just kind of some fundamental stuff that they did not execute at a high enough level. Now, I know, you know, this week has largely been a what's wrong with Josh Allen and, you know, what's going on with Joe Brady week. But, yeah, I think you can be in a place where you say that you probably need a little bit sharper of a game plan. You need to be able to move off of your game plan when it's not working, when you're Joe Brady. But it's tough as an offensive coordinator if the guys on the field aren't executing at a high level. And they just have not been executing at a high level the last 2 weeks.
Nate, of course, the one of the biggest things that I think has been my biggest gripe all throughout the season is the lack of use of Curtis Samuel as a standard wide receiver.
He's getting paid $8 million to be a receiver, and they're using him sort of like they used Isaiah McKenzie and Deontay Hardy. And it's definitely puzzling. And I think the most puzzling and fundamental puzzling thing about this is that he had his best season as a pro with this offensive coordinator. And I would say my biggest gripe with Curtis Samuel is not necessarily Curtis Samuel. It's how he's being used and how the offensive coordinator is utilizing him. So, I made him a primary, like a key to my parlay last week because I'm thinking his over-under was like 26.5 yards. I'm like, he should kill that because there's no Khalil Shakir in the lineup. They're going to likely need to throw the football, and they just did not find a way to get him open. And really, they're just not using him in, I think, standard ways you'd use a receiver. I think you said it well, right, that they're just not using him in situations where he's playing on the perimeter, playing out of the slot. There's snaps to be had out of the slot right now with no Khalil Shakir in the lineup. So, I think that's something I'm really going to be watching for this week is can they get him activated? Can they get him going in the offense? And can they find a role for him? Because it's not really just can they get him going this week. It's what is his role moving forward, and can that role expand and not be so, you know, I think, siloed into gadget player? Can he be the all-around receiver that they're definitely paying him to be?
Nate, I won't take much more of your time because, one, people will be able to hear your thoughts post-game on Monday night, but, two, let you get back out to it. Talk with the people.
Yeah.
And have fun out there at Consumers.
I shall. And again, we are at Consumers Beverage, 8580 Transit Road. We've got some Heineken sampling if you want to come out and try some of their new, they've got an NA product that they're testing out here. So there's a bunch of cool stuff. You come say hi. There's a YouTube TV quad box college football happening here as well. So I'm sort of in my heaven. So come by, stop by, say hi, and, you know, do the thing.
All right, Nate, have fun, and we'll talk to you soon enough.
Thanks, Derek. Talk soon.
All right, that's Nate Geary, surprise guest visit on the West Tura Hotline. As I mentioned, Nate will be on for you with your post-game on Monday night, and he is, of course, our Bills host, our de facto Bills host, so to say, on anything Sundays. He's here for pregame, and then he's here for postgame, and he's a menace. He's a menace that cannot be stopped, and I respect him for it. So what do the Bills need to do to get out of this? And I asked Nate a couple of these questions, but one of the big things for me is going to be this. Can the pass rush, that is, they're dealing with some things right now. Like, obviously, there's no Von Miller. There's no Ed Oliver. So they're dealing with a couple players missing. But they played respectably against Houston. Ended up causing a fumble that should have helped the Bills claw their way all the way back. Eventually, all they did was tie the game instead of getting the win. But the pass rush looks like it's still, at worst, solid. And against a bad Jets offensive line, solid should be good enough. You need to generate pressure, because one of the things that teams are also doing right now to the Jets that show there's no respect for this offensive line is they're blitzing the hell out of Aaron Rodgers. And that is something that oftentimes Rodgers would make you pay for in the past. But I don't know if it's him being off sync with the receivers in New York. I don't know if it's him not knowing the system well enough, but it's the same guy that he had in Nathaniel Hackett that he's had within Green Bay at a couple points. So I don't know what it is. But at the same time, blitzing Aaron Rodgers has been a beneficial thing that teams have been able to do. So the Bills might be able to sneak a little bit of extra pressure in. We've seen Jamarcus Ingram or Cam Lewis make plays off the corner blitz this season. I'd expect them to try to sneak a little bit of that added pressure to try to help make things a little bit more uncomfortable for Aaron Rodgers. Because this is an important game for the Bills, too. We talk about how important the Sabres game is here to avoid going to 0-4. The Bills have an opportunity to put their foot down against the Jets, who are the only semi-credible threat to the Bills in the division right now. Because Buffalo has an opportunity to go two games up. That's a big deal. Two games up, have immediate tiebreaker. But here's the other key as to why it's kind of important. The next four games for the Bills are relatively winnable, and not at all like the gauntlet of a schedule that it was supposed to be on paper heading into the season. Because after New York, you have Tennessee, a game you should win. Seattle, a very inconsistent team that, quite frankly, it matches the Bills in that way of you don't know what team you're getting every week right now. Miami is garbage. Even with Tua, the Dolphins are handled by the Bills readily on a weekly basis. And then Indianapolis. The Colts are meh incarnate, I think. So the next four games are very much a group that you could take advantage of before you have Kansas City again. And then you go through the rest of your NFC gauntlet after that. And then you close the season with two games against New England. So suddenly, you get through this game, you win this game, you have two games up on the Jets, the head-to-head, the division record, tiebreaker, and the next four games are very winnable, you could suddenly turn the season around in a very positive manner. Especially with the defense starting to get healthy again. They're still waiting on Ed Oliver, but Taron Johnson might finally be back. Taylor Rapp is back from a concussion. Everyone seems to be coming back, getting healthy on the defensive side of the football. Now you just need Khalil Shakir, James Cook, get themselves back on the mend. And allow for Josh Allen to have a couple of guys that can move the chains on man situations. But my biggest gripe has absolutely at this point become, you signed Curtis Samuel to $8 million a year. And you are, as Nate just said, you're using him like you did Isaiah McKenzie or Deontay Hardy. You don't need to sign someone to that kind of contract if that's how you're going to use them. Hell, don't sign them if that's how you're going to use them at that price range, because that's what they're commanding. Use Curtis Samuel like a wide receiver, please. Get him in the progression sooner, as Bruce Nolan said in the first hour, because he is capable of getting open. Give Keon Coleman a little bit more of a more advanced route tree. Why? Because he is kind of proving right now amongst rookie wide receivers that he can cause some separation. He's actually got a better separation score right now than Xavier Worthy. Huh, neat. So there's a little bit of a scheme thing going on here with Joe Brady, because we never knew what he was going to bring to this offense, because last year he was using pieces of Ken Dorsey's. The one thing that they are consistently better with under Brady is running the football, helping take some of the pressure off of Josh Allen. But at some point, I need Allen to be able to be unleashed, allowed to go ahead and take over a football game again, and be able to dominate. Because here's the conversation that everyone was sick of, and the shoe is on the other foot. I'm sick of no interception Josh Allen. He's not as fun. Go bonkers, take a chance, regret a play or two. Because I never really cared about the interceptions. I never cared about the interceptions in context, because what's the alternative right now? Punting? That's worse. That's more boring even. Yeah, bad pick and end up in a disadvantageous situation, but when you unleash Josh Allen, what comes with those interceptions? Oh, you know, near MVP level play. And yeah, through the first three games, we were all kind of selling ourselves on that, but we forgot that Arizona, Miami, and Jacksonville are bad. And even against Miami, Allen didn't have to do anything. Jacksonville, he did everything. But this would be a great time against one of the best passing defense that there is in the National Football League. Take your chance. Go after it. Get aggressive. Why? Because you know that you can beat the New York Jets offense. You can do it. Even with the lack of talent, the lack of separators in man coverage schemes, you know what you do have? A big wide receiver that can win those contested catches for you. Or at least give you a shot to. He's proven that he can in Keon Coleman. Use that size, use that advantage. At the very least, try to draw a flag, because that's something that New York was getting called a lot for in London, is Sauce Gardner is finally getting flagged for the holding that he commits on almost every play. I think it's time for the Bills to take some chances, get a little bit more aggressive, let Allen loose on a weekly basis, but do it right. Because that was the problem against Houston. There was a lot of vertical concepts, and that's when Sugar High Josh came out. He was just trying to throw these vert concepts. You need to have something a little bit more put together for him. If players aren't getting open on the vertical concepts, there's a reason for that. Because they're not separators at the deep level. That means you need scheme to help you. But the leading receiver so far in any of these games has either been Keon Coleman or Khalil Shakir. They need Shakir back, especially against the Jets defense, because that's going to be a tough one. But if you allow the New York Jets, the honest to goodness, never take them seriously until they prove something, New York Jets, if you allow them to get a step on the inside track from you here in the division, just don't let them do it. Because that's annoying. The last thing I need is for the media to say something about the Jets being just fine and that they're back because they beat the Buffalo Bills in an ugly football game. They're frauds that can't even win against an easy start of their schedule. The Bills need to prove that they are a team to beat for the division, and they need to do it on Monday night. It does matter. And why does it matter? Well, we'll go around the league coming up next and break it all down for you as Sports Talk Saturday rolls on right here on WGR.